And so even though it's a continuation, because of the juncture that we stopped, I'd want to title this section, Died Too Soon. Died Too Soon. And the idea here is that now that it is clear that our sinful state needed God's intervention, and He provided it through Christ Jesus, that good news, the gospel. But having better understood the implications of the gospel, that it is more than just the good news, but there is a singularity to it, meaning we can't pervert it, we can't twist it, we can't add and take away something from it, and it continues to be the gospel. Having understood that, and also recognizing that failure to obey the gospel has the end being that we will be destroyed. We will face the vengeance of Almighty God. You know, where in Thessalonians, I think the mic is right here, that in Thessalonians chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, that we are guided by inspiration that God will take vengeance on persons who do not know Him, one, and that obey not the gospel. And so this stark realization brings the question to mind, and many have struggled over it. And in their struggle, or in their ignorance, in their disobedience, in their wanting to have their own way, have come up with some creative thinking. And so they bring to our minds the question, well, if persons who do not obey the gospel will meet the vengeance of God, what of those persons who died before Christ came to earth to save us? Will everybody before Jesus Christ came to earth not inherit eternal life? How do we contend with such a matter? Is it that these persons were born too soon? And having born too soon, then they died too soon. They died before they could have gotten in touch with the gospel. They died before they could get in touch with the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And so this is a question that we may find ourselves in our evangelistic efforts to have to answer. These are questions that some persons, even in their sincerity, may have, and it is for us to give an answer to that question. And so, first of all, we want to declare that persons who died before Jesus Christ, they are not, it's not that they are going to, well, even if they are disobedient, all right, let me frame it that way. Even when persons who before Christ goes to hell, persons who were before Christ, if they meet the vengeance of Christ and God, it is not because they were born too soon. It is not because they died before grace came through Jesus Christ. It would be that they are in a lost state because they died in their trespasses and sins. You know, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, we see that, well, let's read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3.
And you had he quickened.
And you he hath
quickened,
made alive.
Who dead in trespasses and sins.
Who were dead in
trespasses and
sin. And sin. What are we talking about? What we are saying, anyone who is lost before the time of Christ, before Christianity came, before the gospel became a reality, they are lost because they died in their trespasses and sin, not because they were born too soon. But read on.
Wherein, in time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy...
All right, you can stop at verse 3. Okay, so what we are seeing, there are some phrases that are used in this text. All right, it talks about being dead in trespasses and sin. Because all through man's existence, all right, we often speak about the sin of Adam and Eve. But the truth is that all of us on our own doing have sinned. And so when God pronounced a lost state on us, it is because of our trespasses and sin. The passage also says and uses the term by nature, the children of wrath. That would constitute why we would be lost, or why persons in that or in the dispensation or dispensations before Christ would be lost, because they would be children of disobedience. They are not disobedient because they were born too soon, but because they sinned. They were under the power and influence of Satan. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. So let's come again. Being born too soon is not the reason for us or for them being saved, but because they were dead in trespasses and sin, they were by nature the children of wrath, they were the children of disobedience, and they were under the power of Satan. In fact, it is because they did not obey God. They did not obey God. So let's use some of the time to examine some states or some persons before Jesus Christ, before the grace and the gospel came into effect. So we see in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, where we saw Noah, but we see the contemporaries of Noah, that they were destroyed by water, by the flood. And by extension, and we are told in other parts of inspiration, that they would be lost. Now, these persons did not die or find themselves in a state of being lost because they were born hundreds of years before Christ. They would be in a lost state because they did not obey God. When God looked at them, well, read the passage from a verse. Genesis 6, verse 3.
And the Lord said, My spirit shall always strive with man, for that he also is flesh.
All right, read again.
And the Lord said,
Yes.
My spirit shall not always strive with man.
All right. So my spirit will not always strive with man. Why?
For that is he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 100.
Okay, so my spirit will not always strive with man. Because when God saw the wickedness, I think if we step back up a few verses, it would have gotten the context a little bit more. But what we are seeing here is that when God looked at man and the way that man was living and conducting himself, it repented him that he had created man. That's how grievous our sin was in the sight of God. And that is why he would have given them an opportunity to be obedient and go into the ark. But because of their disobedience, their sin, then they were lost. So even though the contemporaries, you know, sometimes we need to break it. Even though those persons who lived at the same time as Noah died and were lost, yet Noah was not lost. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 actually holds up Noah as one of the heroes, you know, and of faith. You know, he was mentioned in that corridor of persons who, you know, their faith counted for something. And so what we are seeing is that not obeying God was the result of them being lost. Not because they were born too soon. Not because they died before Christ came. In Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, these persons were destroyed. These persons, at the end of time, you know, God picked them out and said, you know, in fact, there's another passage that says, well, you know, this nation, boy, if these places like Sodom and Gomorrah had heard what you had heard, they would have repented long ago. All right. So it gives the idea, even, you know, secondarily, that Sodom and Gomorrah, beyond being destroyed, these persons had no lot or part in eternity. You have it there, 18:20.
And the Lord said,
yes, in respect to Sodom and Gomorrah,
and because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous.
Because their sin is very grievous. So you see, it is not an issue of when you were born, or that you were born too soon, but that their sin was
grievous.
Yet, their contemporary lot was not in the same state. Why? He was obedient to the Almighty God. And so we see that it is not that one is born too soon, but it is because, or whether or not, we obey the instructions and the commands of Almighty God. In fact, I step away from my lesson to say that even those persons who were not even exposed directly to special commands and had any special relationship with the Almighty God, but by their very conscience had an awareness that there is a God and what is right and wrong, and to the extent that they listen to that, may very well put them in a situation where they are not lost. You know, I just add that by the way. So having seen that a lost state is not because of us being born too soon, mankind, but in respect to us being obedient or not obedient to God, we want to then spend the rest of the time looking at the fact that in dispensations, before the dispensation of Christ, because we are in the dispensation of Christ, you know, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, it's sort of taking into consideration the patriarchal age. It's taking into consideration the time of the prophets, and even to an extent the law. And then it says, hath, you are there?
Yeah. Hath in these times.
Hath in these.
Last time, the last days, yeah. Spoken unto us by his son.
He speaks to us by his son. So we are now in the dispensation of Christ. Christ rules.
Whom he hath appointed heirs of all things,
by whom also
he made the world.
The world. All right, and if you can just jump to John chapter 14 and verse 6, it sort of ties that concept together, that we are in the age where it is Christ that rules supreme. John chapter 14 and verse 6.
Jesus said unto him,
yes,
I am the way.
Jesus Christ.
I am the way.
I am the way.
The truth.
The truth.
And the life.
And the life.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
So it is now in the time of Christ that we exist. But what we are doing now, we are going to be looking at persons who lived in different ages, different dispensation. And let me just identify Abraham and Job. And in Job chapter 1 and verse 1, so Job would represent a person in the patriarchal age. And what did it say about Job as Job is introduced?
Job 1 2.
Job 1 1.
There was a man. In the land of Uz.
Yes.
Whose name was Job.
Name was Job.
And that man was perfect and upright.
Was perfect and upright.
And one that feared God.
He feared
and
God.
And eschewed evil.
And he shone away from evil. Here is a man, Job, way before Christianity time. Long, long before. But he, in the sight of God, was okay. In fact, God called him perfect. some of us right here, we will admit that we are far from perfect. But in the sight of God, however God stuck it up and measure it, in the sight of God, this man was perfect and upright. But what is the point? He was in a state of being saved. Though the gospel was not here yet, because of his relationship with Almighty God. Abraham, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, again identified as one of the persons who is associated with faith.
By faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance.
So he was called by God, and he answered.
Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went.
You can't stop there. He obeyed. And so what we're saying is that even outside of the gospel, because the gospel don't come yet, so Abraham was not born too soon. He still benefited, even though the gospel was not yet here. So we have just seen the patriarchal age. Now persons like It would be remiss of me. So Job was seen as that perfect man. Abraham, we are told, was the friend of God. Now, when we step into the Mosaical age, what age is that? That is now the age where we have the law, where the Israelites were a special group. That this is part of where the whole orchestration of salvation is being manifested. It was a significant milestone in the act of redemption to choose a special nation through which the Messiah would come. And so this started right after, or just about the Red Sea, when the children of Israel left Egypt. And here we identify David. Not right at Moses' time, but he was a part of the Mosaical system. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, you know, we are told that of we learn of David that he's a man after God's, he's a man after God's own heart. Notice the persons I'm picking up: perfect, friend of God, after God's own heart. He humbled and repented, and he changed from his bad ways. Because he was a nice, sweet person, David. You know, man killed people. You know, some a serious man. You know, all right. You know, sometimes we picture David as a, you know, this guy with him slingshot and whatever. But he was a rough man. You know, when it comes to time to build the temple, God said, "Boy, your hand too bloody. You know, you associate too closely with this thing. You know." But you're at Acts. Let's read it for completeness.
Mm-hmm. And when he had removed him, mm-hmm. he raised up unto them David mm-hmm. to be their king,
yeah.
to whom also he gave testimony and
yeah.
said,
yeah.
I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.
All right. You know, and if we were to pause and start talking about David, then, you know, you'd be vexed with me because I would continue the speech until midnight. You know, did I hear amen? I should continue the speech until midnight. All right. So but what we are seeing here is that persons, just like in the patriarchal system, persons who are in the Mosaical age, that they, having been obedient, having lived penitent lives, having humbled and repented, that they benefited from salvation. It would be remiss of me not to mention, even though I won't delve into it too deeply, that they, persons before the dispensation, the Christian dispensation, would not benefit from being saved if Christ had not come. So in a sense, we are in the same boat, them and us, because had Christ not come, we would have no hope. If Christ had not come, they would have no hope. Because Christ did go and preach to those who were in hell. All right? All right, and every time I touch things like that, I'm tempted to go deeper. But so he went and he preached to them. All right? But the point is that these persons, in how we had framed the lesson in terms of born or died too soon, we see that persons who in that category of being before, that they ended up being lost because they were not obedient, and we are identifying persons who were obedient. And so from all, you know, indication and inspiration, they were saved. In fact, they would find themselves in a similar situation as persons in the Christian era. So when we look at people like Lydia, when we look at the Paul, you know, in Lydia's case, you know, we see her, and inspiration tells us that she was God-fearing. She was a worshiper, but she accepted the gospel. And so what we see that they, like persons like Lydia, like us, persons in the dispensation before, also find themselves in a saved state because they were obedient to God. They were alert to their consciousness of right and wrong, and so God would have dealt with them in a positive way, and the blood of Jesus Christ would have gone back to help them. You know, I'm not going to get into the fact that, you know, from the days of even Abraham, that we see that Abraham had a proxy of sorts, you know, that resembled, you know, the reality of Jesus Christ and his blood. You know, we note that Abraham was a man known for his sacrifices. We see in the Mosaical system and the law, you know, because sometimes we allow persons who are ignorant of God's truth to let us think that the law is just the Ten Commandments, but that in reality the law is a package of both the Ten Commandments as well as the, you know, the sacrificial instructions. And so we see that when the law was given, that there were things to be done, you know, the sacrifices, you know, the turtle doves, you know, the calves, all of these were pointing to Jesus Christ. And so the extent to which persons in those era conformed to that, then they found themselves in a state where, just as the gospel was a gift, was a good news, and so it's not that we were worthy, but just as we have been beneficiaries and are able to obey the gospel, God in a sense went back to those who were born or those that died too soon. And I'm going to leave that as a lesson with you tonight.